This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaruhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihi allahu falamudhilla lah wa man yudhlil falahadiya lah wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Ya ayuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Last week we stopped at the hadith of Amr bin Shu'ayb عن أبيه عن جده قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا كفالة في حد. This hadith is collected by Imam al-Bayhaqi رحمه الله. But unfortunately, the chain of the hadith is weak. That is so. وهو دليل على أنه لا يصح أو لا تصح الكفالة في الحد. The hadith is weak, but at the same time, it could be used to support the opinion that says kafala in had is not permissible. We know what kafala is, right? To guarantee something. So the contract of guarantor, it doesn't, Sharia does not accept it if you are making it in hudud. You can make it in something else, but not in had. قال ابن حزم رحمه الله لا تجوز الضمانة بالوجه أصلا لا في مال ولا في حد ولا في شيء من الأشياء. The scholars have divided kafala into two categories. Kafala to the mal and also kafala to shakhs. Get it? Kafala to the mal or dain or kafala to shakhs. Kafala for the wealth, and the other type is the kafala for the person. So either kafala in person or kafala in the wealth. Abdurrahman borrowed money from Hamza, for example. Hamza wants somebody to guarantee this loan. I said, I will be responsible in case Abdurrahman fails to pay. That's one type. The second one is during the court cases, court hearings, if somebody is supposed to be present in the mahkama at a certain moment of time, then I tell the judge, I will be responsible to bring him back. Like the bail that we have nowadays. Ibn Hazm says, none of them is halal. They are both wrong. We will see his justification in that. He said there is no justification to support the kafala in a person or the kafala in wealth. So it doesn't exist at all. We're not talking about had, we're not talking about mal, we're not talking about anything. Kafala is wrong. قال لأنه شرط ليس في كتاب الله. Because it is a condition that is not part of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as such, it will be batil, void, and rejected. قال ومن طريق النظر أن يسأل من قال بصحته عمن تكفل بالوجه فقد غاب المكفول عنه فماذا تصنعون بالضامن بوجه. So he says, if we are to ask the one who says that kafala is okay. We ask you, said you are the guarantor for this person, but now the person is missing. We don't know where he went. You get it? فَمَاذَا تَصْنَعُونَ بِالضَّامِينَ. What would you do with the one who says, I will be the guarantor? The one whom he guaranteed is gone. That person that he says, I will bring him back, now خلاص, is missing. So what are you going to do with the one who is the kafil? أَتُلْزِمُونَهُ غَرَامَةَ الْمَضْمُونَ هذا لا يجوز وأكل مال بالباطل. If you ask him and you hold him accountable of the payment of that debt, you get it? Since he says he is the kafil, if you hold him accountable of that, Ibn Hazm says this is injustice because he wasn't the one who borrowed the money. That would be nothing but injustice. لأنه لم يلتزم حقته. Because he did not agree to pay the debt. He said he will bring the person. He never said, I will be the one who should pay it. So what are you going to do? Are you going to hold him accountable of it? Am tatrukunahu, or you will leave him, let him go like that. قَالَ فَقَعَبْتَمْتُمُ الْجَمَانَ بِالْوَجْهِ. If you have no answer to that, then that means you also yourself, you are destroying the dhamana. You are disregarding the dhamana bi al-wajh. Dhamana bi al-wajh is to have the dhaman in person, he himself. So are you going to leave him? If you leave him go, that means there is no dhamana at all. If you hold him accountable, this is injustice. Or takfulunahu, tukallifunahu talabahu, fahuwa taklifun haraj. Or you're going to hold him accountable of looking for that person. Ya akhi, you said you will bring him, and now he is missing. You have to go and bring him. And the man doesn't know where he went. He says this is overburdening a person more than what he can bear. Because how does he know the place? قَالَ وَلَا تَعْقَتَ لَهُ بِهِ وَمَا لَمْ يُكَلِّفْهُمْ اللَّهُ إِيَّهُ فَقَطْ قَدْتُ. You are going to hold him accountable of doing something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold him accountable of it. So these are statements mentioned by those who don't see kafala to be valid. وَأَجَازَ الْكَفَالَةُ بِالْوَجْهِ جَمَعَةُ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءُ وَسَدَلُّوا بِأَنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَفَلَ فِي تُهْمَةٍ. Some of the scholars said kafala bil wajhi is halal. So that second type of kafala, they agree with that. And they said because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he accepts the kafala, or he does the kafala in, he approved the kafala in a tuhma, in a complaint. An accusation was cast upon somebody and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam approves the kafala of somebody who agrees to be the kafil in that regard. قال وهو خبر باطل لأنه من رواية إبراهيم بن خثيم ابن عراق. He said this is a weak narration because it is collected by somebody who is known to be ضعيف. Who is that person? His name is إبراهيم بن خثيم ابن عراق. He and his father, they are both ضعيفان according to the scholars of hadith. And وَلَا تَجِزِ الرِّوَايَةِ عَنْهُمَا. It is impermissible for somebody to narrate anything from them. So if they narrate something, that narration will be weak. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ آثَارًا عَنْ عُمَرَ بْنَ عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ وَرَدَّهَا كُلَّهَا بِأَنَّهَا لَا حُجَّةَ فِيهَا إِذِ الْحُجَّةُ فِي كَلَامِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لَا غَيْرِهِ. And then he brought collection of آثار from the تابعين, such as Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and many others, that are supporting kafala bil wajhi. And then he refuted them all. He says, we take the evidence from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophets, not somebody else. Get it? So this is the statement of Ibn Hazm and those who reject the kafala. Wallahu alam, majority of the scholars accept the kafala in both cases. And this is the closest opinion to the truth because there is nothing rejecting it. Do you get an idea? Fil hudud, this one we don't accept somebody to replace him because he wasn't the one who does the act. But in the court case, is somebody to say that I'm responsible to bring so and so person back to the court, this one is okay. There is nothing from the Quran or from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that clearly rejects that. Even this hadith which says لا كفارة في حد, it is weak narration. So we cannot rely upon it because it is not that authentic. So we go with the general principles. Get it? We go with the general principles. So if somebody says, I am the kafil for the loan, and then مات المكفول عنه, the one whom he guaranteed died, who is responsible? He will be responsible. But whether we will go back to the heirs of that person who is the debtor and get the money from his estate, or we are not allowed to go since the money is transferred completely to the kafil, this is something else. Controversial issue among the scholars. If you look at it as this person handled the responsibility to pay the debt, then we will hold him accountable of it. We will not take the payment from the estate of the deceased. But the kafala in general is okay against and contrary to the opinion of Ibn Hazm. Do you get an idea? And likewise, if let's say a person is dhamin lilwajh, he says, I will bring the person to the court, but unfortunately that person is dead, who is responsible? Nobody is responsible because this is not based on his negligence. Let's see, we're stuck. Jazakallah khairan. Okay, Hamza. He just jumped on Nadir Usman. So, in case of death of al-makful anhu, in this regard, we don't hold the kafil accountable of that kafala because this is beyond his responsibility. His job is to bring him to the court. You get it? His job is to bring him to the court. If he can bring him back, then khalas, the case is closed. If he cannot bring him back due to the disappearance of that person in a way, which is beyond his own control, we don't hold him accountable for that. So I would say again, kafala is legal, and that's the best opinion according to the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars. The hadith used by the mukhalif, it is not authentic hadith. We go with the general principles, which says people in their personal dealings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever they come up with as long as it doesn't go against the principle of Sharia. Get this principle, inshallah. Okay. So that's the end of this topic of Hawala and Dhaman. Get it? We are done with Hawala and Dhaman, inshallah. So I hope no complication in the case of the Hawala. Last time, the first class, it was a battle, but alhamdulillah, I think since you guys cooled out, that means everyone understood what is supposed to be understood in that manner. Anyway, if you have any question, then you come up with it, inshallah. The next chapter is chapter number 9, which is about sharika, partnership, and wakala, an agency. You get it? It will talk about sharika, a partnership, and agency. So as usual, Imam Ibn Hajar quoted hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to support the above topic. قال عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تعالى أنا ثالث الشريكين ما لم يخن أحدهما صاحبه فإذا خان خرجت من بينهما. This hadith also unfortunately is weak. You get it? And unfortunately in this chapter almost all the hadith is talking about sharika are weak. So we'll extract the benefit from them and the lesson which are supported with the general principles, not the hadith themselves. This hadith is very interesting hadith, but unfortunately it is not authentic. قَالَ أَنَا ثَالِثُ الشَّرِيكَيْنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا ثَالِثُ الشَّرِيكَيْنِ. I'm the third of the two contracting parties. Two partners. You get it? You have two people agreeing to establish a company. You get it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will be the third one. مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ أَحَدُهُمَا صَاحِبَهُ. As long as one of them does not deceive the other one. If one deceives the other one, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَرَجْتُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمَا. I will just leave them with the business. SubhanAllah. That would be a great loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, but now he leaves that business. So he will leave you alone with no support and no help. So as I said, this hadith is weak. But the meaning it contains is excellent and good. And it is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains with the people as long as they don't cheat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-bay'ani bil-khiyari ma lam yatafarraqa. The two contracting parties are upon khiyar. Khiyar means option. Khiyar means a choice to agree to continue or to decline that transaction. You get it? He says, فَإِنْ صَدَقَ وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَعِهِمَا. If they are to be truthful and they explain the contract and they explain that which is contained in their product, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put barakah in that transaction. So you see, this is general. In any business, to be applied in any business or transaction, that transparency and honesty is supposed to be the cheating and fraud and deception are supposed to be rejected if we really want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in the transaction. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا ثَلُثُ الشَّرِكَيْنِ, let's say we say the hadith is authentic, this is ma'iyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what? With support and help and protection. Do you get the idea? And how do they get that? If they are honest, if they don't cheat, they don't deceive, get it? If they don't do all of these, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do barakah in that transaction which they do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and success in life. So whoever wants to establish a company, amana should be the first intention. And that's why nowadays it's not about the business, it's about whom to cooperate with in a business. Who can be honest with you and do the business? It's very necessary to get somebody who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knows that Allah rejects lying, Allah doesn't like cheating and deception in any dealings. Then bi-idhnillahi ta'ala barakah will be placed. If you are like that, he is like that, you will definitely succeed in that transaction bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. وَعَنِ السَّائِبِ الْمَخْزُومِ أَنَّهُ كَانَ شَرِيكَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَبْلَ الْبِعْثَةِ فَجَاءَ يَوْمَ الْفَتْحِ فَقَالَ مَرْحَبًا بِأَخِي وَشَرِيكِي. السائب المخزومي كان شريك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل البعثة. السائب المخزومي, he used to be the sharik of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم before البعثة. البعثة يعني before the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is sent by Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Before he became the Prophet, this man, As-Sa'ib al-Makhzumi, kana sharik al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to be his sharik. Get it? A partner of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a business. This As-Sa'ib, Ibn Hajar says, he is one of the mu'allafat qulubuhum. One of the mu'allafat qulubuhum. You know who are the mu'allafat qulubuhum, right? So he used to be one of the mu'allafat qulubuhum, those people that were trying to soften their hearts to accept Islam. Get it? So at the very beginning he was like that. He used to be the partner of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then Islam comes, he delayed in accepting Islam, so he used to be one of those mu'allafat qulubuhum. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُعَمَّرِينَ. Get it? So he accepted Islam afterwards, and حَسُنَ إِسْلَامُهُ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُعَمَّرِينَ. He's one of those people that Allah SWT granted a very long life. You know, before the Prophet ﷺ was sent, he used to be a partner. You get it? How old was he at that moment? Allahu alam. وَعَاشَ إِلَى زَمَنِ مُعَوِيَةَ. He lived until the time of Muawiyah رضي الله عنه. Get it? Live the time of the Nabuwa, the time in Medina, the time of Abu Bakr, the time of Umar, Uthman, Ali. You get it? 30 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he lived until the time of Muawiyah. So that's why they said he is one of the Mu'ammarin, and those people who live a very long age. وَكَانَ شَرِيكَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي أَوَّلِ الْإِسْلَامِ فِي التِّجَارَةِ. And he used to be the partner of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also in the first part of Islam, fit tijara, in business. So when he says, I was the sharik of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is referring to that shirka when he cooperates with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a business. فَلَمَّا كَانَ يَوْمَ الْفَتْحِ قَالَ مَرْحَبًا بِأَخِي وَشَرِيكِ كَانَ لَا يُمَارِي وَلَا يُدَعْنِي. So after the Fath Makkah, he says, مَرْحَبًا بِشَرِيكِ. After the Fath Makkah, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the Fath Makkah, مَرْحَبًا بِشَرِيكِ. He is welcoming the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his partner. You get it? Partner in business. And then he praised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, كَانَ لَا يُمَارِي وَلَا يُدَارِي. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a person who doesn't argue and debate in the wrong way in business. And وَلَا يُدَارِي, and is the person who is not harsh. It's very soft, a person and gentle, a person who tolerates. SubhanAllah. This is a description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was doing business. Very lenient and gentle a person. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. So what does that mean? Since this type of partnership continues, he and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we understand from that partnership in Islam is okay, because if it wasn't okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will explain to him or to the ummah that this is wrong. We used to do it before Islam, but now Islam comes and this business is wrong. And usually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be engaged in evil attitude even before Islam. That's why there are certain reconciliation and battles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was involved during the Jahiliyyah. He says, if similar thing could happen in Islam, I will participate also, because it was based on justice. Get it? Injustice, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never participated in that before or after Islam. قال والحديث دليل على أن الشركة كانت ثابتة قبل الإسلام ثم قررها الشارع على ما كانت عليه. From this hadith we learn that sharika used to exist before Islam, but then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sharia confirms that establishment and existence, you get it, and approves it after it comes. So it used to be there, and this is the sha'an, this is the issue of almost all the businesses. Get it? That we are doing. They used to exist before Islam, but then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved or disapproved some of them. You get it? So Sharia doesn't come with a list of businesses that you can do. Do this, don't do this. But Sharia comes with a criteria, principles, guidelines. You get it? Maxims that are supposed to be used to govern any transaction that exists. So that's what companies and the banking system that are attributing themselves to Islam are supposed to understand, that the issue is not about you introducing a new business. The issue is about you being honest in that business you introduce. First, keep the name intact. If you are taking an Islamic name, then keep it intact. Do not modify. And do not take an Islamic title and have a different content underneath. This is what we find, right? Find that title is correct, and everyone will tell you, yes, it's halal. But unfortunately, when you see the content is different. So, what are they supposed to do? Go ahead and introduce whatever business you want to introduce, but make sure that you don't go against the mizan, the mawazin al-sharia fi transaction. Very simple life. Introduce whatever you want, but make sure that you observe the sharia legal principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed to govern any transaction that exists on earth. وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال اشتركت أنا وعمار وسعد فيما نصيب يوم بدر. عبد الله بن مسعود says there was an agreement between me and Ammar and Sa'd. This agreement is based on whatever we generate of ghanima during the Battle of Badr, we share among us. Whatever I got, you got, I got, then we put them all together, we share. قال فجاء سعد بأسيرين ولم أجي أنا وعمار بشيء. Sa'd came with أسيرين, and I do not bring, me and Ammar, I do not bring any, we do not bring anything. Sa'd came with two slaves, but we couldn't do anything. But the agreement is, it doesn't matter whether you got something or you did not. But whatever we got, all of us, we have to put it all together and then we share. So when Sa'd got something and we did not get, me and Ammar, anything, what does that mean? Sa'd has to share with them. Do you get it? This is what we call Sharikatu al-Abdan. You have different types of Sharika. Sharikatu al-Abdan, Sharikatu al-Mufawada, Sharikatu al-Wujuh. Get it? Sharikatu al-Inan. Get it? So every Sharika is a contentious matter. Some scholars accept it and some scholars reject it, with the exception of Sharikatu al-Inan. You get it? All the rest of the Sharikat, some scholars accept and some scholars reject it. So, according to this hadith, Sharikat al-Abdan is okay. How does Sharikat al-Abdan happens? I don't have money, you don't have money, but we're going to use our skills. This is what you have with the physicians, get it? Medical doctors, group of them, they will open a hospital, get it? They run that hospital. So everyone is using what? Skills. Get it? Pharmacy. Things like that. So it's a partnership that is based on skills, not based on capital. The skills is the capital here. That's why they call it Sharikat al-Abdan, because nobody is paying anything, technically. The most important focus is the skill each and every one of them has. Get it? So some of the madahib like Ahnaf and others, they agree with that. Imam Shafi and some other scholars, they do not agree with Sharikat al-Abdan, because they said there is gharar in it. Where is the gharar? They said we don't know the ma'al. We do not know who will succeed and who will not succeed. And sometimes one of them will generate something and the other one will generate nothing. And they will end up fighting each other. So that's the reason why they rejected it. قال أبو ثور وابن حزم قال ابن حزم لا تجد شركة بالأبدان في شيء من الأشياء أصلا فإن وقعت فهي باطلة لا تلزم. Ibn Hazm and many others, they said it is impermissible to have شركة الأبدان. It is باطلة from the beginning, because there is nothing to support it from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, it is weak narration. So that's the problem. If this hadith is authentic, then there will be no justification for somebody who rejects this type of sharika. But now, this gharar, uncertainty that exists before, do we have it now in a type of sharikat that we have nowadays? It doesn't exist. People have been doing that with no problem amongst themselves. Get it? In every country you go, medical doctors, lawyers, get it? They come, they don't have anything, they just rent a place and they will be in that place dealing with the cases. You get it? There is no gharar. And as such, wallahu alam, the best opinion is the opinion that says it is okay, there is no problem. But that to have a group of people who agree to cooperate among themselves and to share the profit equally or according to whatsoever they have agreed at the beginning. Clear, inshallah. So that's the best opinion, the one that says, inshallah, it is okay. Get it? As for this hadith, we don't use it because it is weak. First of all, some scholars said it is actually doubtful, this hadith, because how would they agree that they are going to share whatever they got? But this is ghanima. They don't have it. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it's supposed to be distributed to everyone. Get it? Unless if we're going to say that these brothers are talking about a salab. You know what salab means, right? Salab is the cloth and the properties of an enemy who is killed at the battlefield. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man qatala qatilan, lahu alayhi bayyina, falahu salabuhu." Whoever kills a person and he can prove that, we can give him the salab. Get it? Mu'adh ibn Amr ibn Jamuh and Mu'adh ibn Afrah, those two people who kill one of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were in a conflict. Who killed him? Because the salab is supposed to go to one of them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, bring your swords. They brought their swords. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at both swords. And then he says, kilakuma qatalahu. Both of you killed him. But then he gave the salab to one of them. Because he saw that the nature of this saif, the sword, goes deeper than the first one. Yet the sign he sees in the first one is not that much. So he participated, but this one most likely does the job more. So that's the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him the salab. Take an idea. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam killed an enemy. He put his cloth on him. When the companions comes, they thought, this is the companion is dead. So they started mourning, saying that, Rahimahullah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. He is dead. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw him, he said, no, this is Qatil Fulan. This is the one who was killed by him, not he himself. Why does he do that? To keep a sign that I am the one who does the job. Because whatsoever it is brought by that person, you have a right to take it. But this is a controversial issue. Some of the scholars don't agree with that. Don't agree with the salab to be given. They said it has to be divided by the leader for the combatants. We can favor some of them just because they are the one who did the killing mubasharatan. They said we cannot favor them. So whatever opinion you take, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to accept it. Some scholars said it is up to the Imam. That's the closest opinion. If the Imam says yes, it's yes. That's why in one of the battles, some of the Imam did not agree with that. Because one of them got a very huge, gold. Very big. So if he takes it, he's taking all the ganima. Little is going to be left. They did not give him all. They took it, they share with him. They gave him something reasonable and they take the rest and share with the rest of the fighters and the combatants. So whatever the case might be, this hadith is weak. So we don't use it to support the sharika al-abdan. That is a sharika which is called Sharikat al-Inan, whereby you participate in the capital, and your partner also participate in the capital. Not necessarily the capital should be the same. You get it? It is not necessary that the capital should be the same. This one also is okay according to the best opinion. Then you agree to share the profit, you and your partner. So you pay some money contributing to the capital, and your partner also pays some money to contribute to the capital. You get it, and you share the profit according to your participation. So, and also according to the best opinion, it's okay, although some scholars are having some doubt in it. The next type is Sharikat al-Musa'uma. Sharikat al-Musa'uma is also a contentious issue, whereby you participate in an amount, and your partner also participate in the same amount, and you also share the management. That's why the scholars said in this kind of partnership, Islam is a condition. Okay, this is where Islam is necessary. In this kind of partnership, Islam is a condition. Because you're going to be like him completely. He has the management, you also has the capacity to manage. And he share the same capital, and you also share the same thing. So he has to be Muslim. Why Islam is necessary in this contract? Because if a management could be undertaken by the non-Muslim, he might introduce a non-halal business. And you can't say anything because he has the power to do that. He has the authority to manage the business in the way he believes to be fitting that agreement between you and him. Is that clear? So in this Sharikat al-Musa'uma, you must make sure that your partner is a Muslim. Contrary to the others, you can do it with anybody else because you can just agree with him to be the manager. You get it? You can just agree with him to be the manager, or you set up conditions. You get it, that can avoid you being trapped by his deception in the future, where he will introduce something which is not within the agreement of your Sharia. So that is the last sharika, Sharikat al-Wujuh. Sharikat al-Wujuh is the contract of a partnership whereby none of them has money, but they have wajh. What is wajh? Face. So in the rest of the partnership, they don't have face. That's the face. They're not talking about the physical face. They're talking about respect, credit worthiness. They're gentle people in the eyes of the traders. I don't have money. Hamza doesn't have money as usual. Okay, sorry, Hamza. Hamza doesn't have money. I don't have money. So we go to Abdurrahman. No, he goes to Abdurrahman and I go to Uzair. Uzair is a businessman. Abdurrahman is a businessman. Hamza goes to Abdurrahman to borrow things from him. He bought something from Abdurrahman on credit. I also bought from Uzair on credit. Then the agreement is, we go and utilize this thing that we borrowed, invest them, get it in our own way to generate a profit. Do you get an idea? Whatever profit we generate, we share among us according to what we have agreed. Get it? So these are the types of the partnership mentioned by the scholars. There is another type of partnership which the scholars mentioned. And this partnership is the Sharikat al-Mudaraba. Sharikat al-Mudaraba, many scholars don't agree with it to be Sharika. They say it's a kind of Ijara, not Sharika. It's a kind of Ijara, not Sharika. You get the idea? So you have many scholars who will say to you that it is Sharika. Because what happened in Mudaraba, inshallah, it will come in the future. But what happened in Mudaraba is, I have money, but I don't have time to invest it. Or I have money, but I don't know how to invest it. So then I agree with you, you don't have money, but you know, you have the skills for the investment. So I'm the Sahibul Mal, and you are the Mudarib. I give you the money, you go and invest it to generate income. Whatever income you generate, you come and share with me according to what we have agreed. The best opinion is the one that says it is based on our agreement. 50-50, 40-60, whatever we have agreed, it is up to us. Do you get the idea? But what we should remember here is, in every partnership that Sharia agrees with, the profit and the loss sharing has to be equal and has to affect everyone. This is what the system nowadays is rejecting. And that's why any partnership that is not based on reality, this partnership is wrong. Like the shares people are buying sometimes, this purchase has to be a reality. If you are a partner in that company, through the purchase of the shares, you must be a real partner. Whereby it should be written in black and white that you are the partner in this company. If that is a loss, you lost everything. If the company says your capital has to be returned to you no matter what, this is not partnership, but a loan contract between you and them, and as such, you are not supposed to generate any profit from that company. You have to take exactly the same amount you gave them. Do you get the idea? This is very important for us to understand, because some of them, they will tell you from the beginning that we will guarantee you the return of your capital, the return of your money. You will never lose anything. So this is a loan contract Islamically. This is a loan contract Islamically. It is not a partnership contract. This is a loan contract Islamically. It is not a partnership contract. So that's the answer to many questions that are coming nowadays concerning this matter. First of all, we look at the investment. It is based on what? If it is halal, then the first condition is fulfilled. You can go and get involved in it. And secondly, we have to make sure that we are real partners in that. We are real partners in that. Not partners by name, but in reality we are not. They just borrow our money for investment and they share some of the profit with us. This is not the partnership that Sharia accepts. The same goes to Mudaraba. In Mudaraba, when there is a loss, who lost? Mudarib or the Sahib al-Mal? Both of them. Get it? According to the best opinion, both of them are losing. Sahib al-Mal lost his wealth. And the Mudarib lost his effort. Get it? Because this effort and this time that he spent, if he is to use it in something else, he might generate a lot, much more greater than what he is supposed to be receiving from your business with him. So this is the end of the hadith talking about the sharika. The next hadith is the hadith that talks about wakala, and it is also weak. Jabir bin Abdullah رضي الله عنهما قال أردت الخروج إلى خيبر فأتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I decided to go out to Khaybar and I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال إذا أتيت وكيلي بخيبر فخذ منه 15 وسقا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if you come, he said, I decided to go to Khaybar. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he knew about that. He said, please, when you reach Khaybar, you go to my wakil, my agent there in Khaybar, and take from him 15 wisqa. 15 wisqa. Take from him 15 wisq. Wisq is a measurement. You get it? It's a measurement they used to measure the seed with it during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And every single wisq is equivalent to 60 sa'. Sa' is a smaller measurement. Every wisq is equivalent to 60 sa'. You get it? وَالصَّاعُ أَرْبَعَةُ أَمْدَادٍ. And every sa' constitute 4 mud. Is another smaller measurement, right? So sa', if you go by kg, you get it? If you go by kg, it's around 2.40 kgs, almost 2.5 kg. You get it? Almost 2.5 kgs. I'm just mentioning this for the sake of information, not for the sake of judgment, because in Islam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use measurement, we have to keep it like that. We're not allowed to change, especially when it comes to the zakah. Because if you're going to go for the weight, the poor guys will be harmed. Get it? Because if you take some of the tamarat, a few can constitute the amount of the cages we are looking for. But if you're going to go with the size, then you have to increase a lot. You get the idea? So we go with the measurement where Sharia accepts measurement. We go with the weight where Sharia goes with the weight. Get it? It will not change until the day of judgment. No ijtihad here. We have to keep it in the way it is. So he said, when you go to my wakil, and then take this from him on my behalf. This is from the sadaqah, right? وَتَمَامُهُ فَإِنِ ابْتَغَى مِنْكَ آيَةً فَضَعْ يَدَكَ عَلَى تُقُوَتِ. And the completion of the hadith is that if this person looks for a sign from you, what would you do? He says, if this person looks for a sign from you, then put your hand on this bone of his. So when you put the hand here, then he will understand that you're from me. So this is circumstantial evidence, right? وفي الحديث دليل على شرعية الوكالة وهو الإجماع. From this hadith we learn that agency contract is halal, is accepted by the Sharia, and the consensus of the scholars is on this. Although the hadith is weak, but there is a consensus of the scholars on the matter because you have some other nusus supporting it. وتعلق الأحكام بالوكيل وتعلق الأحكام بالوكيل and that وكيل, everything that is under the shoulder, that is on the shoulder of the muwakkil, there's a principal, is also supposed to be on the shoulder of the wakil. Whatsoever the wakil has of right, the muwakkil has of right, the wakil also has. قال وتمام الحديث فيه دليل على العمل بالقرينة في مال الغير. We learn from the completion of the hadith that we can use qareena when it comes to the wealth that belongs to others. You know qareena, right? Circumstantial evidence. We look at the circumstance to understand the truth from it. Those of you who studies law, you will know what I'm talking about. It's one of the most powerful disciplines to be learned in law when it comes to the evidence, especially nowadays. Because not every time we'll be able to have a physical and a tangible evidence. Sometimes we look at the circumstance, get it? DNA, cameras, get it? Fingerprints, all of these things, right? They are called circumstantial evidences, messages and all. So they are not supposed to be used to establish a had, but we will let them support the existing ones. You're looking for two witnesses, but you have only one. But you have these circumstantial evidence to support it. Can you use it or not? So for the sake of knowledge, and inshallah, if Allah wish, we're going to talk about that, I don't know when, but in the last part of Bulughul Maram, when he talks about the Qadha and Adab, the Shahadat, we will be dealing with some of these issues. But for the sake of knowledge, for somebody who wants to increase his knowledge, he should read the book of Ibn al-Qayyim. Get it? Read the book of Ibn al-Qayyim, Ilam al-Waqa'in. So he talks about that. At-Turuq al-Hukumiyya, he talks about that. He has a very strong view concerning this matter, where he says evidence in Sharia is designed by the Sharia to detect the truth, and we call it bayina, لأنها تبين الحق, because it explains the truth and exposes the truth. And as such, whatsoever exposes the truth, we take it as bayina, not necessarily a specific thing mentioned by or specified by the Sharia. We can take something else also that does the same job. قال وأنه يصدق بها الرسول لقبض العين. And the messenger who was sent to collect that wealth, we can support him and testify and agree with what he says, if that is qalina. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, touch this part of his body, he will understand you are from me. وقد ذهب إلى تصديق الرسول في القبض جماعة من العلماء وقيده المهدي في الغيث على غلبة ظن صدقه. Scholars mentioned that this is what to be done, but some of the scholars said no, unless if we don't have doubt in that person. If we have doubt in him, then we don't use Karina to support his case. وإن الهادوية أنه لا يجوز تصديق الرسول لأنه مال الغير فلا يصح التصديق به وقيل عنهم إلا أن يحصل الظن بصدق الرسول جاز الدفع إليه. So this is just like some of the first opinion where they don't agree. Another statement from them says, unless if we have something to support his case. So wallahu alam, as I said, qara'in, they're part of the sharia. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam indicated that using qarina in Islam is okay, and it has to be, had been used by the nation even before us. Look at the case of Suleiman and the two sisters. You remember that, right? When they lost their daughters or their children, and then the elders claimed that the remaining one belongs to her, and that was wrong. And the youngest said, it is mine. And that was the truth. But Dawood, according to what appears to him, he decided the case for the elders. Suleiman, when he heard about the issue, he called them back. He said, come. قال أهاتني بسكين. He says, bring a knife. So the youngest one said, what are you going to do? They brought the knife. So the youngest one said, what are you going to do? He said, I just want to divide him into two. I give you half, she take half. Since you don't agree, she doesn't agree. So I don't want one of you get him and the other one doesn't get something. At least you share. You get this, you get. If you cut it, what will happen? Death. So when he said that, and even if he doesn't die, how can you see your son just half of him? So when he said that, the youngest one says, huwa laha, just leave him with her. I don't want. So when she said that, Suleiman said, give the child back to her. What is he using? Karina. What is the karina? Because a mother cannot take her child. And throw him away or kill him. Get it? Nowadays, the vast majority of the children that we found on the road, they're children of what? Zina. SubhanAllah. Zina. Otherwise, if she got it legitimately, how can she throw him away? But these are the children of Zina. They don't want to carry the shame. You get it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected them from committing a new sin. So when the child comes, because sometimes they combine two sins, the sin of zina and the sin of killing a nafs. SubhanAllah. They commit the zina and the child comes and somebody will give them the fatwa based on maqasid. This maqasid nowadays, everything maqasid. SubhanAllah. Based on maqasid, you get the protection of honor. SubhanAllah. Fuqaha. Why didn't he give her fatwa to protect her honor before the zina issue? Until it happens, then protection of the honor is essential in Islam. And as such, they will legalize for them the abortion to go and kill the child. That's qatl nafs. In Islam, the general principle says nobody is allowed to kill somebody for him to survive. Alhamdulillah. Nobody is allowed to kill another person for him to survive. That's information that you might see in some fiqh, that if there is a need to reduce the size of the population, we can go and reduce the size of the population. Do you get the idea? That's wrong, absolutely wrong. It has nothing to support it. If people are going to die, all of them, they have to die, all of them. We don't sacrifice some on behalf of half of the rest. The example they give is when they are in a safina, and the safina is about to sink, we have to do what? We need to reduce some. Then we should reduce some so that the rest will be saved. Who should go first? They said the young one said, the old one told the youngest one, you guys should go. He said, why? He said, because anyway, even if you die, you don't have sin. You go to paradise. So the youngest one was smarter than them. He said, but you're too old, you're useless. Even if we let you stay, then after a few days you die. Who's going to take care of that issue? Islamically, there's not. You can't use the Yunus alayhi salam story. That was the Sharia, if it was the Sharia. Get it? In our Sharia, قتل النفس لا يجوز بحال من الأحوال. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three justification for the killing of a Muslim. Other than that, no way for somebody to be killed. Get the idea? So we have to understand this, that abortion is strictly rejected Islamically. It has no place in Islam. The only time they talk about that is when there is a strong need. There is a strong need and a strong fear, confirmed by the trusted medical doctor, and the child is still within the first stages of the sperm. Get it? The first stages of the sperm. Some scholars said, we are allowed to take him out. And even at this stage also, some scholars said, no. This is interference and going against the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his act. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَرٍ مَكِينٍ. جَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَرٍ مَكِينٍ. Allah said, we put him in the qarar maki, a very strong and firm place of protection. Get it? For it to be protected in that place. So we cannot remove him. SubhanAllah, imagine everyone believes in these laws and these principles. Because some of them, they will go and be negligent. Get it? And have the pregnancy because they know some fatwas are saying it's okay to take him out. So this is what? Killing the nafs. After the soul is given, then there will be no way, no controversy here. Although you might see some of the contemporary scholars might say, we can do that, but this is absolutely wrong. Some of them said, we should save the mother and kill the child. That's the same thing. Some of them said this is أخف الدرين. There is no أخف الدرين here. And the best is to look for some other alternatives. As one of our scholars mentioned, that we do have the technology nowadays, even if the mother is dead. And by the way, when she dies, who killed her? Allah. Who to be blamed? Nobody. Nobody. How do I know that if I take the baby out, the mother will survive? And wallahi, if that is written upon her, even if you take the baby, whatever you do, she will die. Don't we have sisters? After they take the baby, they remove the baby from her. From her, she died. Good idea. So, Allah take the soul. Nobody to be blamed. But if we kill the baby, who killed the baby? Who is responsible? We responsible. Whoever gets involved has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do istighfar. And also the deal for that child, if the form of creation is, human beings is in him, has to be paid by whoever participated in that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and guide the ummah to the truth. So these are the qara'in. In Islam, as I said, the circumstantial evidence is okay to be used. It's also halal to be used by the court. But can we establish a capital punishment with it or not? The best opinion is no. Get it? Because all the scholars agree that had is supposed to be cancelled in the existence of shubha. If shubha exists, any form of doubt that exists in had, that had has to be cancelled. Why is that? Let's say the decision is to cut off his hand. We cut off the hand. But then we realize that we are wrong in that decision. How can we fix this problem? We cannot. The decision is to cut off the head or to stone till death. We did that. How can we rectify it? We cannot. The decision is to beat him or her 80 times. We beat them. How can we rectify that if we realize that we are wrong in that decision? That's why it's very dangerous. To be a judge is really a critical moment for you if a person understands that. Nowadays we fight each other for that. Before they used to run away from it. Because they know how much they're going to be held accountable of any decision they're making. You know, life of people is going to be in your hand. You just say yes, they go and kill. You say no, they take the right of somebody and give it to others. Very difficult, decision to accept to be a judge. So in Hudud, wherever Shubha exists, we have to cancel that had. And as such, the best opinion is the one that says, we don't establish had because of Qarina. Because Qarina still has some percentage of doubt in it. Get it? DNA analysis, DNA test, all of these things, they have some doubt in them. Video cameras, they have doubt in them. Especially in this time that we are living in. They can bring something, they will say, this is you doing that. And you don't even exist in the place. Take an idea, this is this life. The funniest one is, they can arrange a lecture by you. And you never said a single word in that lecture. How? They said if you have spoken and you use all the letters, they will just take, collect here and put, subhanAllah, criminals. To create a statement by you, and whoever hears you say, yeah, this is fulan. Experts understand. But common people like us, we don't know what's going on. So this doubt is there. Things could be manipulated and fabricated. That's why we can hold the person accountable of parentage if the analysis says he is the father, biologically. But we don't attribute the child to him. And we don't execute him and apply upon him the had, the capital punishment. But we hold him the responsibility of that child, to take care of the child, his education, his tarbiyah, throughout his life. There has to be somebody who will do that. And if we get him, because the vast majority of the result we get from that is what? Is that the analysis is okay. Although it is up to 90%, it doesn't go to 100. So that's, 1% that remains is doubt is enough to remove the had upon a person. So Allahu A'lam, this is a very good and interesting discipline that a person should understand properly. As I said, Sharia, recognize it and accept it. So I will stop here, inshaAllah. That will be the last hadith, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.